Five intersections picked were based on data from several years ago. I don't remember if it's exactly 8 years or 5 years ago, and then the year previous. And these were the five most consistent across the board, unanimous most incidents. I believe the 2 years previous to red light cameras, just these five intersections had 377 vehicle accidents.
Question 36, has red light camera footage been used to investigate other crimes or cases not related to red light violations within Pensacola? Yes.
That was, of course, D.C. Reeves talking at the brief on the red light cameras. It is required by state law. The state statute that allows you to have red light cameras also has to have an annual review of it. And then the other voice you heard there was Kristen Brown, who is the current acting chief, and she'll become the deputy chief when Chief Winstrom gets here, assuming that tonight the city council approves him. And I absolutely assume that they will. But I thought that was an interesting question. Would, you know, has it led to other investigations or solved other investigations? And I wasn't quite sure what that meant. So I will ask my good friend Mike Wood, who is the public information officer at the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what are we talking about? Like the red light cameras have helped solve some robbery, some kidnapping, some other, how have the red light cameras helped to solve other crimes?
Well, other incidents as well. We can look at the cameras, look at the intersections and see if there's a crash, who actually caused that crash, what exactly happens. So we'll have that information. And also we can look in the intersections if we're looking for a specific vehicle to see if it went through one of those five intersections, which way it was going, what time it went through there. And that can help in an investigation.
Okay. So this is really more about if a crash happens, you can help resolve maybe liability or at least figure out what the event was because it was captured if there was a red light run at the intersection. Obviously, if there's a crash, somebody's going to have been through a red light because otherwise they couldn't both be in the intersection at the same time, right?
Right, that's correct. And, okay. And again, it can show us a vehicle that may have passed through there at a certain time that could be of help to us.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. They did some crime elsewhere, whatever, but they also ran a red light. You'd be able to, you know, track patterns or see things like that. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Okay. We got a parade coming up this weekend. You know, obviously we've done this, once already with the new parade route for Martin Luther King Jr. Day? But tell people what to expect. Again, the rules are not brand new, but they're relatively new about where you can park, when the perimeter closes, and then what the new route's going to be.
Yeah, the signage will be up on the parade route. And it's very clear, so just make sure you're careful when you're parking down there on Friday. So there's a parade Friday night and another one on Saturday. The change of the route because of the construction on Palo Fox is going to take it south on Palo Fox from Wright Street. You'll make a left onto Garden and then another right onto Jefferson.
Yeah.
So this is the change, and it went smoothly for the MLK parade. There were no issues, and we don't anticipate any on this one. The big thing is to get in there early, find you a good place to park, and get you a good spot on the parade route. And then after it's over with, we'll get you out of there just as fast as we can.
Is there no parking on Jefferson during the parade? I'm guessing the same way for security it was on Palo Fox. Is that right?
Yes. So, yeah, if there's anybody left there on Jefferson before the parade starts, then unfortunately we're going to have to tow that vehicle for security reasons. We really upped the security since the incident in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. That's just something we can't leave there. But I think we've only had to tow one since we've changed to that new security. I may be wrong on that, but I believe it's one that I know for sure.
Oh, great.
So most of these people that are parking down there are moving their vehicles and getting them out of the way before anything like that happens. It hasn't been a big issue.
Very good. And people still can't park on Palo Fox, right?
That's correct. I mean, if you own a dump truck, you might get away with it. But other than that, probably shouldn't do that.
I'm always impressed by your ability. And I can see your face. You're looking at me through your phone thinking, Andrew. And then you answer it with no emotion at all, not laughing at all. Just, nope, still can't park on Palo Fox. What were you going to say?
Over the years of speaking with you, I've learned to anticipate questions like that. So, yeah, if you don't throw one at me, I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, I find like I'm not doing my job. All right. Let's see. One of the other things, this is a substantially more serious question. We had an incident on Scenic Highway, and it involved a fatality. Ultimately, two people, I believe, died. But it turns out, or you guys are looking for a blue Jeep, because the theory is what now, that the Jeep crossed the center line and actually led to the crash. What's going on here? What do we know? What are we looking for?
Yeah, that's what we do know, is the Jeep was on Scenic Highway, crossed the center line, and hit another vehicle head-on, and now we have two fatalities. But during the investigation, our traffic homicide investigators determined that that vehicle was at W and Mobile Highway minutes before that crash, and was supposedly there for 10 minutes or so, and the individual was seen by other motorists passed out at the wheel, and we're looking for witnesses to that, and there's been some confusion. We don't need the driver of the Jeep. We have him. He was treated at the hospital. We obviously know what vehicle is involved. What we do need, though, are any people that saw this vehicle, maybe even before it got to W and Mobile Highway. Was it driving erratically, maybe on Navy Boulevard or something like that? We're looking for those witnesses and any witnesses that approached the vehicle while it was at W and Mobile Highway. We're looking for those folks also.
Okay, so you have the driver, you know what happened. Do you know they crossed the center line because the driver told you, or because you have witnesses, or because you have camera, or can't say?
Well, it's the evidence at the scene.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right, fair enough.
It was, yeah.
But now what you're looking for is, and you know he was, or you believe that he was passed out at the, you know, at the gas station, I think you said. But now you're looking to confirm that from other people. You're looking for any eyewitnesses that might have seen him or that before the crash. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what we're looking for, particularly anybody that may have cell phone video of the vehicle at W and Mobile Highway. That's what we're looking for, is any witnesses that saw him that can tell us how long that vehicle was there. That's what we're looking for.
What was the date that this happened? Because that might help people if they knew they were in that area. Maybe they have a dash cam. Maybe they, you know, keep it for long enough. I don't know. I'm just – what date and what was the exact location?
On Friday, it'll be 2 weeks. 2 weeks Friday. So, and it was after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the time.
Okay.
So it was.
So
it
on
was
the 30th, January 30th, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's correct.
All right. Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. Mike, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. They work to create highway jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Just one accident on the books right now. We've got one at 9th Avenue and Underwood Avenue, and that's causing some major delays on 9th Avenue. So you definitely want to route around that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right, thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, one of the briefs we got this week was from Mayor D.C. Reeves talking about the drop in crime, a significant drop in crime, 28%, I think, across the board. You know, a little bit more, a little bit less in some categories, but a very, you know, very substantial drop. We have also seen across the country crime has been going down. Unless I'm mistaken, you feel free to correct me. We are doing well, but we are also part of a national trend that is doing well. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. But you also, I mean, we can't put our finger on one particular reason for this in Pensacola. It's a collaborative effort between the hardworking men and women of the Pensacola Police Department and that's a big and, our community that cares. And nobody cares more about a community than those who live in it. So we get those phone calls, we get those tips when there's someone or a vehicle in an area that's not supposed to be there, and we're made aware of these situations. Our CRA officers are able to do a lot more since that came to be, and we're able to just to do a whole lot more. But again, we could not do it without a community that simply cares like ours does.
You know, the thing that I've heard, and you correct me if you disagree, but what I have heard many people say is they attribute this drop in crime primarily to technology, that law enforcement technology is so much better. I also think, and again, you tell me what you think, I think that the behavior of the more likely to engage in bad behavior people, meaning young, single, particularly men, has changed. And technology has affected them in a very different way, which is instead of being out and about and causing trouble and doing the kinds of things that we did when we were kids, you know, to some degree, they're at home playing games because they're living life on technology and social media instead of living life out and about. And that is also a part of the behavior shift across our culture that has produced fewer incidents of crime. Do you think there's anything to that? Am I way off base? Am I thinking about this?
No, I think there's a lot to that. You just have a lot of people that are you know, kids that are growing up now are simply staying in the house, and they're the world is at their fingertips, and they're not going out and doing things like they used to. But also, people know now that you just cannot go from point A to point B without being on camera somehow, somewhere. And I'm not talking about cameras that the police or the government installed. I mean, there's ATMs, there's doorbell cameras, there's all kinds of things out there that can catch you messing up. And people know that, and hopefully that the technology that we have, and we're very fortunate to be a part of the Sheriff's Office Real Time Crime Center.
I
learned how to speak English. I learned how to speak English last week, but we're very, very fortunate to be a part of that as well, and that's made a huge impact on the entire Pensacola-Escambia County community.
And it really is, you know, these broader cultural, because how would you explain it for everywhere? I mean, yes, our community does great, but I think it's also an everywhere thing, and it's not just, you know, trouble. It's, I mean, for example, you know, people aren't having sex. Young kids aren't having sex. I mean, that's just true. Why? A variety of reasons, including social media and technology. But, you know, there's all kinds of ways, and they're not drinking either. The attitude towards alcohol has changed, and so alcohol consumption is down. Your alcohol companies are not making the kind of money they used to make. Well, fewer drunk people means fewer crimes. I mean, it's kind of like all of this stuff collectively together has an impact. At least I think so. Do you disagree with any of that?
No, I don't.
All right, perfect.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things that are happening.
Absolutely.
I got to say too that we've got a mayor and a city council that's obviously on our side, and that makes things a whole lot easier.
Oh no, I know. You know, and we played the clips from Eric Winstrom from the other day, and there's no doubt that having a community that supports law enforcement is an advantage when it comes to having a safer community. There, you can't even begin to dispute that claim. Absolutely. Hey, one thing I wanted to ask you about, actually, you had brought this to my attention, and it has to do with scams that we continue to have that people fall prey to. And I want to play, you had sent this to me, so I want to play it so you can talk about it. This is an outbound voice message. So when you call the phone number, this is the answering machine message that, or we used to call it answering machine. This is the voicemail message that you would get.
You reached the confidential voicemail of Lieutenant Matt Coverdale here at the Pensacola Police Department. If this is an emergency, please hang up and dial 911. If not, please leave your name, your number, and a brief message, and I will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great day.
Now, Matt Coverdale, not Coverdale, Matt Coverdale is a real law enforcement officer at the Pensacola Police Department, and he's a rock star. He is from the South, but he does not talk like that. So what is going on here, Mike?
So these scammers are, you go on a website, and you can get our names very easy, and they're taking that information, they're making those recordings like you just played, and they're sending them to people, telling them that they have warrants or they miss jury duty, and there's all kinds of reasons. They have a person or a family member that's been put in jail, and they need bail money, and then they want you to go to a Bitcoin machine in the mall, or they want you to go get gift cards. That's not how that works. The law enforcement is never going to call you about money or about warrants or anything like that, asking for money or gift cards or Bitcoin or anything else. And when you have that happen, and Andrew, we've had people lose $40,000-$50,000 of their life savings and even more because of these scams, because they're scared to death. I was working off duty at Navy Federal and had one young military person come in just scared to death, and it took me literally 45 minutes to talk him into, this is a scam. He was like, no, I'm going to pay it. And I'm standing there telling him that it's a scam, and he just would not believe me. Finally was able to get him to put that money back in his account. Ugh. But people believe this. These scammers are very, very good at convincing people, and it's always a rush. They want you to go do it right now, and that's simply a red flag. All you have to do is call us or call the sheriff's department and see if what they're saying is real, and 99% of the time, it's going to be a scam.
And, you know, the reason that they go and do enough research to use a real officer's name. I know in Santa Rosa County, same thing, real deputies, that they do that because that will survive the first layer of minimal scrutiny of the claim, because you can go look up online and see that Matt Coverdale is actually a PPD employee, right?
Yeah, and they're also using our phone numbers. On the caller ID on these, on the victim's phone, it will show our phone number.
So they're spoofing the number. They're impersonating fake cops. Or, I mean, they're impersonating real cops, and they're doing all kinds of things to get people. And it's working. I mean, they wouldn't do it if it didn't work. So I'm glad to get the information out about that terrible thing. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You got one for me this week?
Yeah, and I heard this one. They came straight to me and told me that they're not worried about a DUI tonight because they have a Tesla. So let's address that real quick.
Oh, a self-driver, yeah.
If you have a self-driving car, that does not give you carte blanche to just drink all you want and get in the car and tell it to take you home. You are still in control of that vehicle. That is still going to be a DUI. So, and the cars are just going to get better and better. And there's, in fact, there's one in Las Vegas that you just hop in and there are no controls. And you can go anywhere you want to, but you still can make that vehicle stop on command, which puts you partially in control, which means that you can end up with a DUI charge. So we just want people to, Dan, there's lots of Teslas and other vehicles out there that will do this. Just make sure you know that if you're in that vehicle, you're behind the steering wheel, you can still be charged. Please do not drink and drive.
Do not drink an autonomous drive because that is still a violation. Very good. Now, all right. Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for putting up with my questions, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.